I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana. Thanks for joining us for the podcast today, brought to you by Blackfoot Communications.
Does your home qualify for a $70 discount on your internet bill? Blackfoot Communications is proud to partner with the FCC to help ensure that households can afford the broadband necessary for work, school, healthcare, and more. For more information on this federal program and to see if your household qualifies for a discount on your internet service, visit goblackfoot.com/ACP. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
Boy, you'll have to admit, I think when you think about the Vietnam War, I mean, you're doing cartwheels in your head about trying to make some sense of it, trying to see the value of it, but also, I don't know if there's any of us here that haven't experienced it first, second, third, fourth degree in some way or another, family members usually, or friends or dear friends. The Vietnam War ended some 50 years ago, but the experiences of that conflict, they still impact us today in a lot of ways, and some pretty quietly too, and that's real painful. But just as we need to connect with the purpose of that war, we have to connect with the participants of that war as well. And we do that today. We're commemorating the 50th anniversary. Ray Reed is going to join us. Bill Rich as well. They have this annual Montana Welcome Home event on the 29th. We'll talk about that in detail. A little bit later on, we'll talk with Diane Carlson Evans. She's an Army Nurse Corps captain. And we'll tell the story of what the nurses experience both on and off the battlefield at home. Impactful show today here on Voices. Really hard to put thoughts together when you think about, I think, the Vietnam War, how much of an impact it has had on individuals and this country. I guess it's hard to put some things in perspective. I have a number of friends, dear friends as well, who took part in that war, and just personal experience. I guess some of them made it home. Even some of those who made it home were still stuck in Vietnam. And I think a lot of that could have been, well, I think we know now that we did not give our veterans there that welcome home experience that they deserved. They went and served for their country. And this was very much a very public war. They say it's the first TV war. I was not yet a teenager when they were bringing that war home to us here, living up in Montana too. We didn't get too many things. And especially then, you know, as a 10, 11 year old, we didn't get too many things that penetrated our day to day life, so to speak. We were happy and we were okay here, but the war was a long ways away. Again, I'm experiencing or expressing my experience here as well. But for our veterans there, and we're going to talk about that today in great detail. I mentioned later on Diane Carlson Evans. This is a story, a 10-year effort to lead the recognition for the sacrifices of the Army Corps nurses. And I'm reading her book. I probably got about a fourth of the way through it. And let's see the name of it here. It's kind of specific: Healing Wounds, a Vietnam War Combat Nurses 10-Year Fight to Win Women a Place of Honor in Washington, D.C. There was no Veterans Memorial for women up until about the time, 10 years later, after retired Captain Diane Carlson Evans recognized how important it was to recognize the nurses, the Nurse Corps, and also for that healing to take place. Let's first, though, welcome a gentleman we've spoken with in the past, Ray Reed. He is retired colonel as well as, I'm pulling up the right sheet here, Ray, forgive me, director of the Montana Military.
We're trying to hook up. If you were asking me, I was just trying to get Bill hooked up. He dialed that number in wrong and is in a panic.
Oh, he can call back. Can I give it to him? I'll give it to you on the air, okay?
Actually, I just regave it to him, so he should be calling you any second.
Super. Thank you for that. I appreciate that. I chatted with, again, it was Bill Rich, William Rich. He's going to be the keynote speaker at this event. We'll talk about this event. It was good chatting with Bill, too, and the stories. You know, Ray, I'll just start with that. We've got this event we'll talk about, but, you know, if I'm sharing some of my personal experiences here, because Vietnam was a very personal war, I think, for each and every one of us, whether we were, you know, in field or not. People who returned home from that war, I'll just say it this way. I have a friend who later on, I'm sorry, lost his life, but he could remember every detail, Ray, of battles and friends and brothers. Is that the case? Why is that, do you think?
Well, it's indelible. I mean, it's an indelible process because you lived it 24/7, 365, I guess you'd call that, because most people were there for about a year. And it was intense. It was the first time we ever had a conflict that was, they call it today, asymmetrical. You could be standing in the PX in Cameron Bay, and all of a sudden a rocket comes in. Mm. You could be out on a patrol and being in a firefight. You could see a lot of civilian stuff and a lot of military stuff at the same time. You could see the it was different. It was different for most people because they'd never been through that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Bill Rich joins us now. Bill's going to be the keynote speaker. This event is March 29th. It'll start at the Capitol. I'll have Ray and Bill talk about that in more detail here. So that's upcoming. But Bill Rich, a U.S. Navy CB, served in Vietnam 1968 to 1971. Bill, thank you for being on the program today, too. I was just asking Ray, and we were just talking about how an indelible, as Ray used, an impact that this war had on people. As you and I were chatting as well, you have stories to tell, and you remember them in great detail, Bill. It obviously had I don't know how to put that, but the kind of impact, I guess, is lifelong.
It is. You remember it. Like, I'm sitting here in my living room right this minute, and I've got two different pictures up on my wall. One of them is the wall in Washington, and the other one are four sketches that a CB did of the CBs in Vietnam. Mm-hmm. I've got both of them framed. And, we were over there. I was in the Northern I Corps, both tours, up near Way. First at Phu Bai at Camp Campbell, and second up at Jolly, where Camp Eagle was, and we were at Camp Wilkerson up there. I remember my first morning arriving in Vietnam. We landed at the Phu Bai Air Base. We got off our planes. The sun was just starting to come up. It was getting light. Hadn't started to get hot yet. And we looked around, and there was a group of Vietnamese standing off to one side. They were older women, men, children mostly, and we were wondering what was going on, and then another transport came in, and they started offloading coffins covered with South Vietnamese flags, soldiers that had died for their own country. And that's an impression that stays with you throughout life, because we were seeing first thing, sacrifice that the people of South Vietnam were making. And it was just something that impacted, I think, all of us, realizing that, we were actually in a war zone. We were someplace that, a continuing war was going on. People were dying. This was, as I say, within an hour of the time that we landed. Mm. For the first time.
Well, I read accounts like that, Bill, and a lot of people say that it they didn't have any time to get acclimated. Once they got in field there, they were right in the thick of it. I wanted to ask, I'll ask you, Bill, since you're When did you feel it was okay to start telling your stories? When did you feel you were strong enough, or maybe your experience was a bit different coming home? But was there a time, and Ray, I'll ask you to follow up on that too, where you felt like my stories, I have to keep them quiet, and then all of a sudden it was time to get those out for the healing process, Bill?
Well, I think there was a period of time there. I mean, I came home, when I came back to the States after the first tour, being that we traveled as a battalion, there were people out of the...
You want to hear us, we're on.
So we came back as a battalion, we retrained, we regrouped, we went back for our second tour to Vietnam, and we were in the same area. So we had a little better reception coming home each time, but it did take a while. I sort of tried to put a lot of that out of my mind for a while, what I'd seen, I'd sit and think about it once in a while when I had a moment. But I think it took a few years, and because I stayed in the military and retired from the military and were among people for quite a while that had, sometimes it had been there in Vietnam and seen different things, and as more came out about the war, I think I started to think a lot more and say, there's stories here to be told. There's things to be told about this war. And I thought that this was something I wanted to tell people, what was it like? Because people started asking, well, what did you see? What did you like? Or what did you feel like in Vietnam? And there were things like when I went to the Imperial Palace in Hue. And we went into the throne room and so forth, the old Imperial Palace, and the Citadel itself was quite impressive. So there was good and bad, and you try to remember the good parts.
Yeah, yeah, and try to forget the bad, or at least, I'm not an expert on any of that stuff, but, process it in a way where you find the value in it, and that may have been a real chore. I got to take a break, you guys, and we'll come on back. Diane Carlson Evans will join us a bit later on. Here's a text message right off the bat, and thank you, guys. It says, thank you, Bill Rich and Ray Reed, for your service. We'll say that as well. I want to come back and hear more about the stories that I think have helped us all heal. Back with more from Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana.
Does your home qualify for a $70 discount on your internet bill? Blackfoot Communications is proud to partner with the FCC to help ensure that households can afford the broadband necessary for work, school, healthcare, and more. For more information on this federal program and to see if your household qualifies for a discount on your internet service, visit goblackfoot.com/ACP. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
Ryan Benham with Headline News. We'll see what's shaking at the state capitol, 68th legislature, that ahead. Also, a bit later on, as I mentioned, we'll speak with retired Captain Diane Carlson Evans. She's the author of Healing Wounds, Vietnam War Combat Nurses' 10-Year Fight to Win Women a Place of Honor in Washington, D.C. I'm looking forward to that a bit later on. And this as well, retired Colonel Ray Reed is with us, director of the Montana Military Museum, montanamilitarymuseum.org for more information there. And we're also speaking with William Rich. Bill Rich is a U.S. Navy CV former and served in Vietnam 68 to 71 and a keynote speaker at this event. Ray, I'm going to run out of time unless I ask the question right now about tell us about this event. I know there's it's been going on for a number of years, and it's pretty impactful in and of itself.
It's quick and dirty. A group of us gather at the Capitol. We do a veterans walk. We do a wreath laying at the Freedom Tree, which is a recognition of our Vietnam POW MIAs. And then we conduct a program on the inside with the music and the voice We spent about an hour inside the Capitol Rotunda. I believe that the governor is going to attend, and he's going to participate by reading a proclamation, or somebody's going to read a proclamation that we put together. We've done it every year since 2012. A couple of years, the COVID got us. We didn't get in there because of that, so you know we modified it, but we're back at it now. And we usually see about 100-125 people there marching flags and saying welcome home to each other, if nothing else. But a lot of other people come up and say welcome home too. And I think that's the key to the thing, you know, the old references. We didn't get a real welcome home. Well, frankly, if you read the history books, a lot of times a lot of people didn't get the welcome home.
Yeah.
But we were especially there because we came home one time, one person at a time, basically. We didn't come home as units. So.
Yeah, and I found that real interesting, too. I'm just going to read this excerpt. I could endure rocket attacks, but I couldn't endure mean-spirited words telling me that my generation and I were not worthy. That's part of the preface from Diane Carlson Evans in the book that I referenced earlier. Ray Reed, again, as the director of the Montana Military Museum, montanamilitarymuseum.org. So much to talk about there because, man, you guys keep that thing going, and it's so many volunteers. I want you to give a shout-out here in just a little bit. Make sure I save time for it. Another text message coming in. Our phone lines are kind of used up right now, so if you wanted to get a text message in, it's 781-627-5483. And Bill, you and I chatted about this. Thank you, Bill Rich, for your service and your continued support for scouting. And this is from Montana State. I'm just going to say the first name, Gabrielle, I guess. So congratulations and thank you for that 65-plus years, going on 66. And you still don't have all of your badges, Bill?
Well, I do have all of them.
Okay, all right, all right. I just wondered what badge took over 65 years to earn, because I better get going on that.
Well, that's a 65-year veterans
there you award. Go. Thank you for that. Thank you for that service, too. I'm going to get back to the stories here as we talk about and commander of American Legion Post Number 2, very active. As you are keynoting this event on the 29th, you know, what story do you tell that as much as possible gives your feelings and your thoughts start to finish as much as possible, I say, on the Vietnam War and war in general?
Well, war in general, I feel sorry for the people that are involved in those wars, particularly the countries that are involved. You know, we saw a lot of destruction in Hue during Tet 68 and the country. The enemy, the VC, and the North Vietnamese during that time actually murdered a lot of people. I didn't actually see the river running red, but there's stories of the of them marching people into the river in the way and executing them, people that they had targeted when they came in. So they were raising problems in Vietnam, and the civilian population was not really thought about, you know. And these are people, and, you know, you grow up and you learn to respect people, and you see what happened. I got to go up to the cathedral, the Catholic cathedral in Hue, a few times, and I got to know one of the priests up there, and they had a very hard job. I mean, you know, there was two competing religions, basically, Buddhism and the Catholic Church were very prevalent in Vietnam. And I don't know. It's just hard to understand when you're talking about people and being involved.
Yeah.
And, you know, you get to know some of the Vietnamese when you're there. And we were working the people-to-people program. I was in the second time. I was working in this part-time in the people-to-people program. And that was very rewarding in a lot of ways. I actually got to work with South Vietnamese scouts while I was there. I had an international letter of introduction from the Boy Scouts of America, which put me in touch with the people and cords that co-sponsored that program for American soldiers in Vietnam, we actually got to work and run a big camp outside of Way while we were there in the second. I was there in the second tour.
Gonna have to take a break here, and I apologize for that. I know it's hard to kind of get your thoughts going, but news headlines upcoming, and all three will be joining us next: Ray Reed, and then William Rich, and also we'll invite and introduce Diane Carlson Evans too. It's the 50th commemorative anniversary of the actual implementation of the Paris Peace Accords, which officially ended the Vietnam War. We'll have more.
Does your home qualify for a $70 discount on your internet bill? Blackfoot Communications is proud to partner with the FCC to help ensure that households can afford the broadband necessary for work, school, healthcare, and more. For more information on this federal program and to see if your household qualifies for a discount on your internet service, visit goblackfoot.com/ACP. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
Welcome home. Vietnam Veterans Observance will be Wednesday at the Capitol Complex, commemorating the 50th anniversary. I invite you there. The Veterans Honor Walk begins at 10 o'clock. There'll be a wreath laying at the Freedom Tree, which is the POW-MIA Memorial in the South Lawn of the Capitol. And that, again, is on the 29th. Welcome back. Tom Schultz alongside William Rich. Bill Rich is a U.S. Navy CB. We'll be keynoting the address there. Ray Reed, retired Colonel Ray Reed, director of the Montana Military Museum. They're going to be standing by. I want to make this introduction and thank her for her service as well. And then for more, because there was, first, hello, retired Captain Diane Carlson Evans, founder of the Vietnam Women's Memorial Foundation. How you doing, Diane?
Good morning. I'm happy to join all of you.
Thank you for being here. This is only going to be a short segment. Let's just start with this 50th anniversary. Does it grab you in a way that, perhaps as I'm reading your story as well, how the movement from coming home, being told not to wear your uniform, to the day you proudly put your uniform back on and marched in public. Does this 50th anniversary have a real significance for you?
Well, first of all, it doesn't seem like it's 50 years since Vietnam, because I've been listening to Ray and to Bill and how much we all feel the same about so many things. And for me, when I came back from Vietnam, the tone of the country was so hostile towards us, men and women in uniform, that we shut down, and to survive, we decided we just wouldn't talk about it. Because if we did, we might set ourselves up for some mean-spirited words or hostility directed toward us. So we just decided to do our best and move on and not admit that we were even in Vietnam or wore the uniform. And then with the dedication of the wall in 1982, there was a turning point. For the first time, our nation saw us, thousands of veterans, and I was there, standing in front of those names, and we were sobbing, we were hugging, we were saying to each other, welcome home. And finally, the nation was coming to grips with who we really, they saw us as human beings and people who had served and sacrificed for our nation, just as the Korean veterans had, World War II, World War I, all of the wars previous to us, and that we were treated unfairly when we came home because we were being blamed for the war. And so for me, I just decided that I didn't want anybody to know I had served in Vietnam. But in 82, I came back from that experience, and I could no longer forget. It wasn't working anymore.
Yeah.
And I wanted to remember. So so when I realized that the women were not going to be portrayed in a figurative sculpture like the statue of the three men, I decided that the women needed to be seen and they needed to be heard and we needed to hear their stories, but we also needed to see a portrayal in bronze of those women at the Vietnam.
We come on back after a short break and go right into that story with Diane Carlson.
Voices of Montana continues right after this.
Does your home qualify for a $70 discount on your internet bill? Blackfoot Communications is proud to partner with the FCC to help ensure that households can afford the broadband necessary for work, school, healthcare, and more. For more information on this federal program and to see if your household qualifies for a discount on your internet service, visit goblackfoot.com/ACP. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
Thank you for being here. Appreciate that. If you have served in the military, big special thanks as well for your service. We are honoring those who have served in the military, telling the story of the Vietnam War in through certain eyes. We'll just put it that way. The 50th commemorative anniversary is upcoming of the signing of the Paris Peace Accords, which officially ended that war and also brought Americans home. They came home to a very divided country. And there was things that didn't happen that should have happened for our soldiers who went and served our country there. And that was a big welcome home. It's been since then that we have been trying to rectify that. I think the official welcome home Vietnam Veterans Day was in the early 80s. I'm probably going to get it wrong, maybe 82. Then they dedicated a memorial, not the wall, but to three soldiers there, because the wall was about those who didn't come home, and it was very dark and very bleak, and not long after that, people wanted to recognize those who did, and that was part of the memorial. We pick up the story kind of right there. We have Ray Reed with us, and Bill Rich. Ray is with the Montana Military Museum, and Bill Rich will be a keynote speaker at this event they have celebrating or commemorating the 50th anniversary. That'll take place March 29th. It starts at 10 o'clock at the Capitol. We've talked about that a little bit. Diane Carlson Evans is with us, and Ray and Bill still with us as well. And thank you, Ray, for introducing me to Diane, and appreciate your service. Diane, as I was saying before we hit the break, founder of the Vietnam Women's Memorial Foundation, a U.S. Army Nurse Corps officer, and author of Healing Wounds, the Vietnam War, Combat Nurses' Tenure Fight to Win a Place of Honor in Washington, D.C. So, again, with thanks all around, Diane, pick up that story, because as part of your healing process here, and it says in your book, too, I would return, and you're talking about the wall, because on that day, and this was a particular day, 1982, I understood for the first time the power that honor plays in the healing process. That sentence stood out for me, Diane, that we did not honor our veterans for that service. I don't know if we've made enough amends in that regard, but your thoughts and continuing to tell that story.
Well, as Ray and Bill expressed too, the Vietnam Veterans Memorial that was dedicated in 1982 was really a turning point for our nation to really look at us Vietnam vets as to what we had, how we had served and the sacrifices that we had made. It took me 50 years to write my book. I was terrified to write my memoir, because I didn't want to go back and remember everything, because there are certain things I will never, ever forget. Like Ray said, it's indelible. I had seen firsthand for 1 year as a nurse, a combat trauma nurse, taking care of the wounded right off the battlefield when those heroic helicopter pilots on those dust-off helicopters dropped down onto our helipad outside our emergency room, and we nurses ran out to bring the wounded into our hospital and then triage them as to where they should go next. Should they go to the ward to wait for surgery, or should they go to the operating room immediately? I had witnessed how our young men, all men now, because we didn't send women into combat. We were there as nurses and women in the Army Corps and some other administrative and other MOSs as well, but the majority of us were nurses. And I had just seen and witnessed and cared for these brave men, and I knew that they were just as brave as any soldier who had ever served in any war. I saw them suffer, and I saw them die, and then I came home, and the country was hostile toward us. Our nation betrayed us. The government betrayed us. The country was divided, and I think it's great to protest a war. If the war is wrong, I'd be out protesting if I felt the war was wrong, but I would never protest the men and women in uniform fighting that war because our country sends them off to war. And then to not defend us when we came home as to our honorable service and to the loss, the extreme losses, and then the number of suicides from our men and women after the war due to all kinds of problems with pain. A lot of veterans who lost their limbs finally ended up committing suicide. They could no longer endure the pain. But then there was the emotional pain. There was that deep, deep emotional pain that we were shamed. Like somehow we caused the war or we lost the war. There were some veterans who told us from World War II, well, you lost your war. Well, it was painful to hear another older veteran tell us that we didn't lose the war.
Yeah.
The government lost the war. Well, getting back to the Statue of the Three Servicemen. So there were a lot of soldiers, a lot of male veterans who believed that they wanted a figurative sculpture in bronze that was more heroic to add to the Vietnam Veterans Memorial. And these three bronze soldiers are looking at the wall. They're looking for their buddies. And that was the day I realized that we needed to remember the women who had also served.
And that started a 10-year battle, actually, to win women, as you say in your subtitle, a place of honor in Washington, D.C. Why did it take 10 years?
It was a fight. I had no idea. My husband is also a veteran. He was a surgeon at the VA hospital here for 14 years. He was my rock. He was so supportive of me. When I came home from the dedication of the wall and I said, honey, they're going to add a statue portraying men at the Vietnam. And if that's what they want, that's great. And it's a beautiful sculpture. But I said, now we need to have a statue portraying the women so people will know that women were there. And we went to Vietnam to bring those men home. And we were with a lot of those names on the wall. There's names on the wall. I can't remember their names. But I was there for them when they died. And women nurses were one of the most important contingencies of the Vietnam War, and yet we were forgotten. And then we were told we were not worthy again, that women hadn't done enough or there were too few of us and we didn't deserve a place on the National Mall. And they set out to stop us. But I was a farm girl from Minnesota, hardworking dairy farm. My mom was a registered nurse. All six kids, we worked hard. And we mattered. And I thought to myself, you know, they were all men, a handful of them who were against the Vietnam Women's Memorial. The madder they made me, the harder I worked. I just was going to work around them, but I wasn't going to give up. And it's that General Prendergast said to me one day, Diane, persistence overcomes resistance. That's General Prendergast, one of our local heroes, who really cares about veterans. And he was right. It was that persistence that I wouldn't give up. And you know why? Because I never gave up on a patient in Vietnam. Never. Nurses don't give up. And I thought, I'm not giving up on this. But I didn't know it would take 10 years. But it's there now. It was dedicated Veterans Day 1993. So that's 30 years ago.
And it's hard for me to kind of process, like you said, the 50th anniversary of it. It seems like, I don't know how to put that, but I hate to say just yesterday, but I guess that's how war ought to feel. It ought to feel like, you know, we're never very separated from it because it is probably the worst experience that you know, humans could experience. So we're speaking with retired Captain Diane Carlson Evans, founder of the Vietnam Women's Memorial Foundation, a U.S. Army Nurse Corps officer as well, and author of Healing Wounds. I just a couple minutes here, and then I'm going to try to get Ray and Bill back on the program after a break and get some comments from them as well. The connection, though, Diane, that you felt with those soldiers. Again, it was early part of your book here, but you tell a story of the first time a soldier had that opportunity to look you in the eye, and without the aurora of combat, to say thank you. Very impressionable.
Well, that was the thank you that never came. Not from the wounded, those wounded soldiers. We knew that they appreciated us. We knew that. But when we came back from Vietnam, we split up. We just went our separate ways, and we went into hiding, basically, isolating ourselves either physically or emotionally or sometimes both. And we just needed, it wasn't that we just needed this welcome home. We needed the country to acknowledge that our service was honorable and not treat us with hostility. It was the hostility and the degradation, the denigration that hurt deeply. And maybe some of us will never get over it, because I can never forget the unkind things that were said to me personally. Like I was nothing but oiling the war machine, you know, so that more soldiers could kill more babies. I was told that. And I was like, what? I'm oiling the war machine so soldiers can go kill more babies? What does that mean? I guess it means I'm a nurse and I'm saving lives. But it was such, I'll never forget those words. You can't forget that either. So 50 years later, they're having this commemoration to honor us, and let it's time.
Let's take a break and come on back, and we'll just have one more break, and we'll get some thoughts from Ray Reed and Bill Rich, and also more from Diane Carlson Evans as we look at this 50th anniversary commemorative event. It's upcoming March 29th again in starts at the state capitol at 10 a.m. We'll have more on that here in just a bit too. It's from Montana for Montana Voices of Montana.
Does your home qualify for a $70 discount on your internet bill? Blackfoot Communications is proud to partner with the FCC to help ensure that households can afford the broadband necessary for work, school, healthcare, and more. For more information on this federal program and to see if your household qualifies for a discount on your internet service, visit goblackfoot.com/ACP. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
They save lives and shed tears with the soldiers who did the same. We're with Diane Carlson Evans, a retired captain, U.S. Army Nurse Corps officer, and founder of the Vietnam Women's Memorial Foundation. Let's also bring back into the conversation. It'll go real quick, as this show tends to do. MontanaMilitaryMuseum.org for more information on this event. And honestly, Ray, I'm gonna do it. I'm just gonna take some time to give a shout out. Alan Charvat. I hope I'm saying that right. Dave Cogley. I spoke with Connie and Dave Cole. You also have Pam Jackson. I'm just going down the list. Jeff Kendrick. Those folks are all volunteering at the Military Museum and more. So thank you guys. Mike May, I don't want to forget anybody. Again, this event will start at the Capitol on the 29th, and that's a couple of days, so that's going to be Wednesday at 10 a.m. You know, Ray and Bill and Diane, thank you again for being here and for your service, you guys. Ray, I'm just going to save a little time. Some of your comments on Diane Carlson Evans's thoughts here. Of course, her work to get the women, especially the Nurse Corps, recognized, rightly so. It obviously, they were front and center, these nurses, with our soldiers in Vietnam.
Yeah. Well, this is Ray, and I met Diane at that 92 event. She didn't remember me, and I didn't remember her, but we were shoulder to shoulder right there when that happened. So we went back. Every state put people back there to march on Constitution Avenue. You can't even do that today, by the way. It's no longer allowed. And we marched in and did all of that to recognize women in military service, and especially the Vietnam nurses and other folks that were there. I just want to let you know that we can welcome them back again by getting on your walking shoes, putting on the right coat, because it's probably going to be a little bit chilly.
Yep.
Come and enjoy. We're not going to stream this program, but we are going to film it, and hopefully we'll be able to put it out. It starts at 10 o'clock at near the corner of 6th and Rodney. Let's see, 6th and, well, I can't remember what the, it's in front of the Historical Society.
Oh, gotcha.
And since their construction's there, we have to start across the street. We walk around on the walkways because we don't have a parade permit, but we're allowed to do this. We're going to recognize our POWMIAs, and then we're just going to have a good recognition inside, and you're all welcome to come.
Thank you. Bill, do you have I want to save some time for Diane as well, but any comments, final words?
She mentioned that, you know, it called us baby killers when we came back. But I remember an incident that happened in Phu Bai where a woman, a South Vietnamese woman, came into the guard facility at the north end of the Phu Bai combat base. The Viet Cong had wired her and her baby with explosives with the intent of blowing up that guard facility. And they managed to get her unwired. She was very, very grateful.
Wow. I have to save 30 seconds for Diane. Thank you for that, Bill. Thank you, Ray, as well. Diane Carlson Evans, thank you, too. Any 30-second final thoughts, ma'am?
I sure do, because I want to reach out through you, through your radio, to the women veterans listening today. Please, all women veterans of all eras, you know, we're sister vets. It doesn't matter if you served just yesterday. If you're a woman veteran, please come and join us at the Capitol tomorrow. And I would just be loving to see more of our Montana women veterans coming out of the woodwork and yes, acknowledging that they're a veteran and accepting the recognition.
Welcome home. Welcome home. And thank you guys for being on the program.
You've been listening to Voices of Montana. Comments and opinions heard are those of the host or callers and not necessarily those of this station, sponsors, or Northern News Network. Join us Monday through Friday at 9:06 for Voices of Montana.